Amen. Please stand with me. I'd like to turn your attention to Luke, the 6th chapter, and verse 38. The words are red. That means it's the same as the words in black. Amen. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you. So what God is saying, if you want, you have to give. And then what he does is he causes people, not necessarily God's people, but just people in general, to give you to the point where it's pressed down and shaken together. I mean, we're not just talking about fluff. It's so strange that I'll go to Starbucks one day and the cup is so heavy, and then I'll go to another day and it's so light and it's the same order, but somebody didn't pack it in, you know? It was just fluff. Amen. Paid the same, you know? But what God is saying is you can't get without giving. Amen. I want more respect. Well, then I need to respect more people. Amen. I wish I had more friends. Well, then I need to be more friendly. Right. I wish more people loved me. Well, then why don't you love more people? Nobody has any mercy anymore. Well, do you have mercy? So whatever you want, you first have to give. Amen. 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 And God could not be Lord of all except he submitted to all. Right. We ask your blessing upon the word. Amen. We're grateful to be able to stand with it in our hands and allow it to be in our mind and sift down to our heart. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am not going to preach very long tonight, but I feel I have a thought that God gave me. My grandfather had a very strange way of drinking coffee. I can still remember how he drank coffee. He would pour the coffee into his saucer, and then he would blow on the coffee in a saucer and drink the coffee from the saucer, not the cup. Now, I always thought, that's a little strange. Then he'd kind of slurp the coffee, you know? I guess if you really enjoy something, maybe you need to slurp it a little. It opens up those taste buds. So I Googled today and found that in the 18th century, that was typically how most high society drank their coffee. So I'm here tonight to bring some of you into a more sophisticated sense of high society. If you're going to drink, you might as well drink the right way. And you will get a lot more looks at Starbucks if you drink that way, if they could find a saucer for you. I think saucers have become obsolete. We just use cups, but we don't use saucers. A lot of people don't even know what a saucer is, except maybe a flying saucer. Are you ready? Now, I am not an expert because I didn't start drinking coffee until I was 50 years old. Really strange. And then somebody introduced me to a candy bar coffee, you know, one of these lattes with syrup and, you know. And so that got me stuck on the real thing. And now I'm much more of a connoisseur of the real thing. Amen. Glory to God. And some of my sermons get so long that I need a cup of coffee. Amen. It takes a while, you know, and sometimes you just need a little bit of coffee. Oh, it's hot and it smells so good. Just take your time. Amen. But I think what I'll do is I'll drink the coffee like my grandfather drank coffee, if you don't mind. Normally, when I drink, if you're really a connoisseur, you have to keep the little finger out like this. You know, some people, they don't even know how to drink coffee. But I know how to drink coffee. I've paid the price for good coffee. I took coffee from Starbucks all the way to Malta one year. Komodo Dragon, it's called. They only have it once a year at Starbucks because Brother Parker and Sister Parker love Komodo Dragon coffee. Brother Parker says that if you drink it, you have to shave twice a day. It's really strong. So I learned also that in India, even today, it is common for two people to order one cup of coffee, and the one drinks it out of the cup, the other drinks it out of the saucer. And it's a tradition there because it kind of binds you together over one drink, whether it's tea or whether it's coffee. In ordering coffee, my only request is that you save a lot of room for the cream, because I love coffee with my cream. When the coffee cup is full to the top, I have a major dilemma, especially since no one ever uses saucers anymore. So what I just do is when the coffee cup is to the top and I don't have any room, I go to the booth next to me and ask the person to slurp a little coffee out of my cup so I have room for a cream, you know? It's sharing an overfilled cup. Oh, and tell me, where do you put the spoon after you stir the coffee, you know? That's part of the reason for the saucer, is to put the spoon on the saucer. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. Amen. All right, this is such in-depth teaching that you can put to practical use. David was a shepherd boy. Amen. He was a giant killer. He was a king. And David, of all people, knew something about God's blessings. He wrote in Psalms 23 and 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." A good waitress is one that keeps coming back to your table to freshen up and fill up your coffee cup. We have a great God, and He keeps coming back to us. Amen. Just to top it off. Amen. Just another blessing, another day. Amen. I just want to keep filling you up. I don't want to be half full of the Holy Ghost. I want to have the Holy Ghost overflowing in me to the point where I share it with somebody else. Saints, could I just top off your cup? Take a look at Psalms 84, please. Psalms 84, starting in verse number 1. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Isn't that the kind of desire that we should all have? Oh, I am so excited. Today is Wednesday. Oh, I am so excited. Tomorrow morning, I get to be in church. I get to be with God's people. "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Amen. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passeth through the valley of Baca. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Amen. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give his grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. Young people, you have a choice. You can live for God and let God bless you and open doors for you and help you and protect you, or you can do it your own way. Amen. You don't have to go through some of the same bumps and bruises and mistakes that we've made, because God can order your steps. Amen. Amen. Every day, whether we understand it or not, God is pouring out his blessing on each and every one of us. Things that we see and many things that we don't see. Health and protection and increases and peace and contentment. Those things that you cannot buy with dineros, cannot buy with dollars. The question is, what do we do with the overflow of the blessings? Do we hoard them? Do we keep them? Are we just glad that God gives them? God doesn't just give and bless us to overflowing just to satisfy us. But when your cup overflows, can we fill somebody else's saucer? You know? Would you like to drink from my overflow? This world is made up of two types of people. The givers and the takers. The givers always seem to have enough, and many times they even have an abundance or more than enough. They are more at peace. They have more content. They love life. The takers are always short, always under financial pressure, always worrying if they have enough. What about tomorrow? They're never content. You always fall into one or the other category. The giver is so much happier, so much more content. There are two mentalities that we can operate from: the poverty mindset or an abundance mindset. You have to decide who is in control. Who is going to bless you? Is it going to be out of your own effort, or is it going to be a blessing from heaven? The poverty mindset leads to, oh, I'm worried I'm not going to get my share, stinginess, while the abundance mindset leads to a generosity and giving to people and a gratitude from all that are around you. Jesus expressed the two in John 10 and 10. I preached on it a week ago. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. One mindset. I am come that they might have life, and life might be more abundantly. So we got a God that wants to keep giving, and we got an enemy who wants to keep taking from us. And God is willing to set up the protection in our life if we're willing to go according to his plan. Give, and it shall be given to you. Amen. Take a look at Proverbs, the 19th chapter. You know, babies are born with their fists clenched. But as they get older, they open up their hands. Generally, we come into church with our fists clenched. But when we later find Jesus, we start to open. You know, I've said this before. Last year when we were in Puebla, we went into a huge Catholic church, and they had a sign and asked Brother Iglesia, what does it say? It said in Spanish. And it said, give God what's left. It was just the opposite of what God's word says. Give God the first fruits, you know. If we give God what's left, we'll never, ever have enough. In fact, there won't be anything left. We find in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse number 17, it says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So, you know, it's not just about giving to the church. It's a matter of opening yourself up to other people's needs. And we're not just talking about finances. It's talking about help. It's talking about time that we spent with other people. Over the years, I've taken a number of our teenagers, our young people, down to Mexico on mission trips, and most of them come down. Most of them have never been out of the country before. They come into a third world country, and they have money to buy trinkets and souvenirs. And before they leave, it seems like they give all of their money to the missionary, you know, because they see the need is much greater than what their want is. And when we get to the place where we see our need is so much less than what somebody else's need is, well, we open up our hands. You see, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. And I'm telling you, no one can outgive God. God keeps great records. His measure is good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He will meet us with whatever we meet with him. Amen. Give with a teaspoon, that's what you get back. Give with a snow shovel, you know. Anybody here tonight? Thank you. So, has your cup been running over? Only one way can open the windows of heaven. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Starting in verse number 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth abundantly shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. All right. So then, what does God do? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of the service, not only supplieth the want of the saint, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. So isn't it amazing? There have been times where somebody come to me, give me an envelope, it has money in it. Please give this to brother or sister, whoever, but don't tell them who is giving it. And I love that of this congregation. We're such a giving congregation. And you know what happens? Is all of a sudden, there goes worship and praise to God because of somebody's generosity. God gets praise because of something that somebody does within the congregation. Amen. Or if it isn't anonymous, God bless that individual. Help them, God. Amen. There needs to be more saucers in the house of God. A week ago, we took up an offering for Brother Mackey for his missions trip to Vietnam and Cambodia, and it was $2,300. This is on a Sunday night, just an impromptu thing. $2,300 that came in that night, two-thirds of his entire budget. I've got texts from him thanking me. He thanked me that night. But that set up a potential of great increase in the lives of those who gave. See, it wasn't just a matter of taking care of his need. What it does is it sets up this incredible potential for God to now do something in the lives of people who sacrificed and gave. Don't miss the opportunity to fill somebody else's saucer. My cuppeth runneth over. David's experienced what he wrote about in Psalms 23 and 5. He knew what it was like. He gave because of his love for God, not because I have to do it. You know, religion is about you have to do this and you have to do that, but relationship and a life pleasing to God is I want to do this, you see. His cup was overflowing every day. He gave much of what he had to build the temple, which he never was able to see. And what we do with other people and what we give, maybe we perhaps won't even see what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in Vietnam and Cambodia. I don't know what's going to happen in Malta or Africa or Mexico. But you know what? I'm a part of that. God sees it. And then God blesses my life and this church, folks. Would you turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter? First Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse number 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I know during the year there's going to come a time when we have a day for missionaries, you know, missionary for a day. I know there are going to be certain offerings. It's not a matter of, well, am I going to? Every time we go to district conference, this church gives $2,000 or $3,000 to missionaries. I know that's going to happen. I don't have to raise my hand and say, I'll give $500, I'll give $1,000, but we do. That opens the window of heaven, not just for me, but this entire congregation, you see. We support something like, I don't know, 35 missionaries throughout the world, have for many, many years. Something happens when people get older. Amen. Somebody told me that once. I don't know if it's because we have accumulated some of the things in life that we've always wanted, and we now see how little satisfaction those things bring. I know there's some young people in here, you're thinking that whole your whole life is going to be surrounded based on how many things that you can accumulate and get, and the house and the car and the clothes and the whole things. I don't want to bust your balloon, but no, it's not true. But we get much more blessed by being able to give to God and give to other people than receiving or able to get more for ourselves. It's just the process of maturity to the point where, oh, man, I feel good about giving something to somebody else. I don't know how that transition happens, but it always happens if you have any conscience whatsoever. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now see, I can't imagine that Jesus had joy in enduring the cross, but that's exactly what it says. Can't imagine how joy can play a part of sacrificing to the point of hurting until I think of my own loved ones and what I'd be willing to do in order to sacrifice or even to the hurt of myself because I love them so much. And that's the whole concept of what the Word of God says. Some people look at giving as a sacrifice when Jesus looked at it as pure joy. Do I have to? It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was the joy that was set before him because he saw a reward that was going to happen in the future. And our attitude should be, there's going to be a reward. I can't wait. I don't know what it's going to be, but I can't wait. This is exciting. Why can't we give more? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1 and verse number 10. In fact, let's start at verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. That is so incredible. What a oneness scripture. The Spirit of Christ that was in the Old Testament prophets did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. So there's going to be glory or benefits that are going to follow the suffering. And if you're going through something, if you're going through a dilemma, a situation, whether it's health or finances or you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't worry because there's going to be a reward or a glory that will follow. Amen. There's someone in this room tonight that wants to fill your cup to overflowing. His name is Jesus. He presents a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think according to the power that worketh within us. And that word worketh means to be active in doing the will of God. No activity, no blessings. Here I am. It's blessed me. Well, what have you been doing? Have you been filling somebody else's saucer with the overflow of what you have? We have a great Sunday service. Power of God moves Monday morning. Is any of that overflow going over into the saucer of somebody else that's around you? Are you sharing what we have? Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. People who have traded the fountain of life to put their life in a hewn out hole in the ground that won't sustain life. Jesus said in John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." We do it according to God's word. There's going to be a flow and a flow and a flow. You will never have to drag yourself to church. You'll never have to say, "Do I have to do that?" You'll never have to get to the place where you're worried about tomorrow, worried about sickness, worried about attacks, worried about, "Do we have to sacrifice again?" It will be all joy because you have the faith to believe that at the end of this thing, there is going to be a reward. There's going to be a glory that is going to follow. A river that keeps our cup overflowing over and over again. Do we have a saucer that's ready? Are we willing, you know, pour a little bit out for somebody else? The blessing of receiving is in the privilege of giving again. Hallelujah. I got it. Now I'm excited about giving it. See? And when you get to that age of maturity, that's your mindset. It's, "Oh my, who can I give?" And when you're immature, it's, "Oh my, what can I get?" You see? And our God, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross because he saw what was going to happen in the future. And what was going to happen in the future, even the worship that we had tonight, was greater than the sacrifice. Amen. Here's the formula for your cup overflowing. If my cup overflows with love, let me love others. If my cup overflows with comfort, let me comfort somebody else. If my cup overflows with mercy, let me have mercy on others. If God has blessed me, oh, can I bless somebody else? I'm telling you, it is the key. It opens the door for more joy, more contentment, more blessings. A river of blessings. My God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup We can't just wipe up the spills, you know? Let me share whatever blessing I have with whoever else is around me. Amen. Glory to God. Now that you know how to drink coffee, glory to God. Amen. Just don't stand in the way of my coffee, folks. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? There are just certain principles that if you can grab a hold of them, it'll literally change your life forever, put you on a different path. There are many billionaires today that are looking to drugs and alcohol and relationships because they are just not content. And they will never, ever give anything that they have. They're miserable. But if you have much or little, you can be content knowing that we've got a God that will always supply our every need. Amen. He said it. He wrote it down in the book. And I'm glad that God is here tonight. Amen. Love you, folks. The altar is open.